welcome to the stage, Peter Chalnick.
Thank you, everybody. I have to go.
Okay, Kim, you're beautiful.
Kalista.
Hi, Kim. I first got into the Beats in 1975 when I read Kerouac by Ann Charters, and it really opened up my mind a lot. And in early 90s, I met Gregory Corso at the Kettle of Fish three times, and I picked his brain, and he called Alan over, and Alan came over, and they checked my poem out, and Alan growled at me, and I growled at him. I'm only going to read one poem, it's my own.
Oh.
And one thing about these dudes, they're very positive, the way I saw it. New beginning. New beginning, 2007. New Year's Day, firecracker, poetry marathon. Bruce and Joanne Weber, wordsmith, organized, genius. Bowery, easy jam. Needlepoint drizzle, hope, like hot red zinger tea. New beginnings, Democrats take Congress, like Omaha Beach, GIs, candy cane, Christmas tree mulch. President Ford laid to rest, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Midwest, flatland, holy ground. Heal American Saint, 1974. New beginning, bacon and beans, go-go, stock market, prosper. SSD check, savings bank bound. Mythic corned beef sandwiches, thousand Jewish holy land prayers. New beginning, January, day glow, heat wave. 70 degree, global, hot water milk. Warm hot milk bottle, quiescence. DTUT Cafe, Nell and Blake's coffee serve. Top-notch class. Sister Roberta, 58th confetti birthday. White Mustang, football dudes. Concert choir, soprano excellence. 1966. New beginning, Muhammad Ali, prize fight, tumbleweed discipline. Hearts on Salt Lake City, winter breeze. Manhattan computer, midtown, digital engine hum. Hard drive, a hard drive, deluxe. New beginning, hope, like Fresno, California. Hot oven, apple pie, Chevron, Chevy, gas up, Indianapolis, clover leaf, perfection, Canadian geese, Palm Beach, January nest. And yes, new beginning, no poets, words flow on page, like porterhouse steak, genius. Six-shooter outlaw craft. Revolutions, tan buckskin coat. Pacific Coast Highway, magic Aquarius moon. Night cosmic dream. And yes, new beginning, American highway, Oakward optimism. Clean and sober, dollar and kitty. Methodist church, wood pew prayers. Like calico cat, baby boom, prairie women grace, grandmother's pearl gate, fence men with wisdom, yes, and New Orleans 2x4 house build, new beginnings always. Thank you.
Next. next, please welcome up all the way from New Jersey, where he is pretty much the king of poetry these days. Please welcome up John J. Trouse, who will read Gregory Corso.
Thank you very much, Gordon. And thank you all for being here. I'm going to do some short poems by Corso. I'm not going to imitate him. I have all my teeth. But I do have friends who knew him pretty well and do much better imitations anyhow, so I will refrain. Greenwich Village suicide. Arms outstretched, hands flat against the window sides. She looks down, thinks of Bartok, Van Gogh, and New Yorker cartoons. She falls. They take her away with the Daily News on her face, and a storekeeper throws hot water on the sidewalk. Yes. Pastoral fetish. Old MacDonald wears clodhoppers in his walk through the field of lilac and dandelion, a stormtrooper like a clay twittering machine. He stomps, crunch one lilac here, crunch another dandelion there, here, there, everywhere. He's got no mercy at all. Crunch, crunch here, and a crunch, crunch there, crunch everywhere. There comes a time when he's got to stop, take off his shoes, go to bed. Ah. That's when old MacDonald's in his glory. Green blood and mud-caked leather he digs the most. He makes it a habit to sleep, his nose by his toes, so that all night long he could snore in the sticky smell of murdered lilac and dandelion. It's the old bastard's greatest kick. Amnesia in Memphis. Who am I? Flat beneath the shades of Isis, this clay-skinned body made study by the physicians of Memphis. Was it always my leaving the north, snug on the back of a crocodile? Do I remember this whirl of mummy cloth as I stood fuming by the Nile? Oh, life abandoned, half embalmed, I beat the soil for what I am, who I am, I cannot regain. Nor sponge my life back with the charm of ibis oil. Still omen of the dribbling scarab, fate that leads me into the chamber of blue perfumes. Is there no other worthy of prophecy than that decker who decks my spine with ostrich plumes? No more will the scurvy sphinx with beggy prophets, their prophecies relate. Amnesia in Memphis. This is Puma in Chapultepec Zoo. Is Puma still here?
No.
No? All right. Well, Puma in Chapultepec Zoo. Long, smooth, slow, swift, soft cat. What score whose choreography did you dance to when they pulled the final curtain down? Can such ponderous grace remain here? All alone on this 9x10 stage, will they give you another chance, perhaps to dance the Sierras? How sad you seem. Looking at you, I think of Ulanova, locked in some small furnished room in New York on East 17th Street in the Puerto Rican section. Puma in Chapultepec Zoo. And my last Corso poem, I'll do one of my own after this, one short one of my own. This is called Giant Turtle from a Walt Disney film. Giant Turtle from a Walt Disney film. You rise from the sea, an agony of sea, night in the moonlight, you slow the shore behind your webbed tracks, mark your ordeal, an hour, you cease your slow hind legs, now dragging the sand, the damp, the sand, The moon brightens, the sea calms, your mouth pumping, your eyes thickly tearing. You create a tremendous hole. You fall flat, exhaust, sigh, strain, eggs, 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 egg, egg, egg. Heave, exhaust, sigh, flat. Your wet womb speckled with sand. You turn slow, slow to cover the hole, the eggs slow, slow, you cease your slow dawn, and you plop in the sea like a big rock. Giant turtle, Gregory Corser. And now I'll do one of my own. This is also set in a zoo, and it's called, well, actually, it's set outside a zoo. And it's called Outside a Zoo. Outside the Zoo, rather. Outside the Zoo. In Central Park, Manhattan's peristelium, while walking just outside the children's zoo along with Barbara, we came upon a woman on a bench, tough-looking and old and dressed in a house dress. As we approached, she belched the deepest belch I'd ever heard. A little boy was also on the bench. He slowly turned his head from the pigeons on the ground and said excitedly, "Grandma, that was you." And in a tone as deep as her deep belch, Grandma intoned, "No, es paloma." Thank you.
We have a few people who have not showed up, and for that reason, we'll be skipping them for now, and I'll welcome up to the stage Orion 0.62.
Yeah, I get the picture. Don't shoot till you see the pearly whites. Did I just quote Martha Washington?
Sure.
Right. It's by Jack Kerouac. The sound in your mind is the first round that you could sing. If you were singing at the cash register with nothing on your mind, but when that grim rapper comes on to lay you, look out, my lady, he will steal all you got while you dingle with a dangle, and having robbed you, vanish, which will be your best reward. 'Twere better to get rid, oh, John O'Twill, than sit a more time in this half eternity with nobody, to save the old man being hanged in my closet for nothing, and everybody watches when the act is done. Stop the murder and the suicide, all's well, OMD, God. Yeah. And this I wrote today, it's called High Low Down. I hear you, no need to repeat yourself. I'm not deaf, it's for the birds. I couldn't agree more. Then why remind me of it with the frequency you do? It's either a low grade disposal or something too conventional to take notice of. It's for the birds. If there is a dictionary for cliches, it might define it differently. All I do is interpret familiar acoustics and euphonics that attack my auditors. Lots of thanks are for the birds. Fresh thanks too, not just leftovers. Whatever is for the birds that your voice box says doesn't convey the objective nor the material makeup of its message. What is for the birds besides space, flight, and seeds? I am immune to their philosophical ideology. Why toss the birds shit? If they go for diamonds in the rough, is there something insulting about their migratory itinerary? What is it about the birds that you dismissal that it is all for the birds denotes that you dislike them? And please don't wax poetically with some dumbass quotation such as they ruffle your feathers. Maybe your cerebral construction, among other things, is stuffed with feathers. I could say that it's you who is for the birds. Here is the deal, cheapo shit. Grow wings and see if you can transcend the Icarus mold. At least before his spiraling descension, he was a semi-dirigible, a bit too daffy for an angel. Cherubs don't have the stupidity of his ineptitude. His crash landing wasn't exactly fun. He found soon enough that a splitting headache and a crushed skull are a far cry from bosom pals. He was for the birds. Chances are that so are you. You are a strange bird in a foreign environment, polluting the atmosphere with the nugatory resources of a dildo bird who is too bifurcated in the bilateral confusion of every distortion that poisons stability to a malodorous canker. And this isn't for the birds. The infection of it retards immortality to a peanut.
Yeah. Thank you, O'Reilly.
Okay, thank you, Orion. Orion is one of the people who's been around here so long. He is a historian of this whole scene. Worth talking with him sometimes just to find out stuff. Cindy is coming up next. Cindy Hockman will read some more Gregory Corso.
I really want to be thank you, Gordon. Okay, Gregory Corso. The poem is called Marriage. It's probably one of his most famous poems. And he knows a lot about marriage because he was married, I believe, four times. Marriage. Should I get married? Should I be good? Astound the girl next door with my velvet suit and Faust's hood? Don't take her to movies, but to cemeteries. Tell all about werewolf bathtubs and forked clarinets. Then desire her and kiss her and all the preliminaries, and she going just so far, and I understanding why, not getting angry, saying, you must feel, it's beautiful to feel. Instead, take her in my arms, lean against an old crooked tombstone, and woo her the entire night, the constellations in the sky. When she introduces me to her parents, back straightened, hair finally combed, strangled by a tie, should I sit with my knees together on their third degree sofa and not ask, where's the bathroom? How else to feel other than I am, often thinking, Flash Gordon soap? Oh, how terrible it must be for a young man seated before a family and the family thinking, we never saw him before. He wants our Mary Lou. After tea and homemade cookies, they ask, what do you do for a living? Should I tell them? Would they like me then? Say, all right, get married. We're losing a daughter, but we're gaining a son. And should I then ask, where's the bathroom? Oh God, and the wedding. All her family and her friends, and only a handful of mine, all scroungy and bearded, just waiting to get the food and drinks. And the priest, he looking at me as if I masturbated, asking me, do you take this woman for your lawful wedded wife? And I, trembling what to say pie glue. Oh, I live in Niagara forever, in a dark cave beneath the falls. I'd sit there, the mad honeymooner, devising ways to break marriages, a scourge of bigamy, a saint of divorce. And I'm going to read one of mine because I too know a lot about marriage. I was married for 6 months. It's a long time. You know, Sarah Palin wasn't even governor of Alaska for 6 months. So it's a long time. This is called Love and Medicine. A man is just a Y chromosome with pheromones and no aorta, which often leads to a mitochondrial infarction. Have you ever gotten in touch with your femoral side? A woman is just an X chromosome who falls head over Achilles heel with all her exes and doesn't know why. Do you remember that lover's quarrel we had at the Isle of Langerhans? And it got worse by the time we reached the phalanges. Genitally speaking, we went around in cervicals. Menopausal, hemorrhoidal, steroidal, postcoital, plans spoiled, hands coiled, heart soiled, disloyal. We toiled, a slow boil. How long could we lay in that hemorrhagic marital bed? We needed band-aids, tourniquets, clean sheets with hospital corners. Home is where the leak is, and I didn't care for your bedside manner. Spider veins and cobwebs, we weren't varicose, choking on humble crow. Oh, what tangled feet we webbed, we wept, defeat. You were so full of groom and doom. The only remedy for that is a debridement. Is there a doctor in this house? Turn your head and kiss me. Is there a lawyer in this house? Turn your head and divorce me. I know you think I'm being facetious, but this is not meant to be humorous. I wouldn't fibula.
Okay. Alan Baxter hasn't been able to make it here tonight, so I am going to invite a special guest up here from the other side of the pond, I believe. His name is Rab Wilson. Please come up here and enlighten us, Rab.
This is the first time I've ever been in the States. I arrived yesterday and a total hick from the sticks over there in rural Ayrshire in Scotland, and it's been quite a culture shock, but it's been great so far. And George Wallace invited me over, and I read at the Bowery Club yesterday, and now tonight Gordon's been extremely generous in allowing me up here to read for you as well. It seems as if I've been quite lucky in that I seem to have met the best of America so far in my trip over here. George has kind of thrown me in at the deep end here. I'm going to read a bit of Kerouac for you in my best Scottish American, so I'll apologise that for you right now. Out we jumped in the warm mad night, hearing a wild tenor man bawling horn across the way, going ee-yah, 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 and hands clapping to the beat and folks yelling, go on, go! Dean was already racing across the street with his thumb in the air yelling, blow man, blow! A bunch of coloured men in Saturday night suits were whipping up in the front. It was a sawdust saloon with a small bandstand on which the fellows huddled with their hats on, blowing over people's heads. A crazy place. Crazy, floppy women wandered around sometimes in their bathrobes. Bottles clanked in alleys. In back of the joint and dark corridor beyond the splattered toilets, scores of men and women stood against the wall, drinking wine, spodioti, and spitting at the stars, wine and whiskey. The beheaded tenor man was blown at the peak of a wonderfully satisfactory free idea, a rising and falling riff that went from ee-yah to a crazier ee-dee-yah, and blasted along to the rolling crash of butt-scarred drums hammered by a big brutal Negro with a bull neck who didn't give a damn about anything but punishing these busted tubs. Crash, rattly boom, crash! Uproars of music, and the tenor man had it, and everybody knew he had it. Dean was clutching his head in the crowd, and it was a mad crowd. They were all urging the tenor man to hold it and keep it with cries and wild eyes, and he was raising himself from a crouch and going down again with his horn, looping it up in a clear cry above the furore. A 6-foot skinny Negro woman was rolling her bones at the man's horn bell, and he just jabbed it at her. Ee, ee, ee! Everybody was rocking and roaring. Galatea and Marie, with beer in their hands, were standing in their chairs, shaking and jumping. Groups of colored guys stumbled in from the street, falling over one another to get there. Stay with it, man, roared a man with a foghorn voice, and let out a big groan that must have been heard clear out in Sacramento. Ah-ha! Woo! Said Dean. He was rubbing his chest, his belly, the sweat splashed down from his face. Boom! Kick that drummer was kicking his drums down the cellar and rolling the beat upstairs with his murderous stick, rattly boom. A big fat man was jumping on the platform, making it sag and creak. Yo! The pianist was only pounding the keys with spread eagle fingers, chords at intervals when the great tenor man was drawing breath for another blast. Chinese chords, shuddering the piano in every timbre, chink and wire boing. The tenor man jumped down from the platform and stood in the crowd, blowing around. His hat was over his eyes. Somebody pushed it back for him. He just hauled back and stamped his foot and blew down a hoarse, bawling blat, and drew breath and raised the horn and blew high, wide, and screaming in the air. Dean was directly in front of him with his face lowered to the bell of the horn, clapping his hands, pouring sweat on the man's keys, and the man noticed and laughed in his horn, a long, quivering, crazy laugh, and everybody else laughed, and they rocked and rocked. And finally the tenor man decided to blow his top and crouched down and held a note in high C for a long time as everything else crashed along and the cries increased and I thought the cops would come swarming from the nearest precinct. Dean was in a trance. The tenor man's eyes were fixed straight on him. He had a madman who not only understood but cared and wanted to understand more and much more than there was, and they began dueling for this. Everything came out and down to beep and up to bleep and down the clinkers and over the sideways echoing horn sounds. He tried everything, up, down, sideways, upside down, horizontal, 30 degrees, 40 degrees, and finally he fell back in somebody's arms and gave up, and everybody pushed around and yelled, yeah, yeah, he blew that one. Dean wiped himself with his handkerchief. Then up stepped the tenor man in the bandstand and asked for a slow beat and looked sadly out the open door and over people's heads and began singing, close your eyes. Things quieted down a minute. The tenor man wore a tattered suede jacket, a purple shirt, cracked shoes, and zoot pants without press. He didn't care. He looked like a Negro Hassel. His big brown eyes were concerned with sadness and the singing of songs slowly with long, thoughtful pauses. But in the second chorus, he got excited and grabbed the mic and jumped down to the bandstand and bent to it. To sing a note, he had to touch his shoe tops and pull it all up to blow. And he blew so much, he staggered from the effect and only recovered himself in time for the next long, slow note. Music play. He leaned back with his face to the ceiling and mic held below. He shook, he swayed, then he leaned in, almost falling with his face against the mic. Make it dreamy for dancing. And he looked at the street outside with his lips curled in scorn, Billie Holiday's hip sneer. While we go romancing. He staggered sideways. Love's holiday. He shook his head with disgust and weariness at the whole world. We'll make it seem. What would it make it seem? Everybody waited. He mourned. Okay. The piano hit a chord. So baby, just come close your pretty little eyes. His mouth quivered. He looked at us, Dean and me, with an expression that seemed to say, hey now, what's this thing we're all doing in this sad brown world? And then he came to the end of his song, and for this there had to be elaborate preparations, during which time you could send all the messages to Garcia round the world 12 times, and what difference did it make to anybody? Because here we were dealing with the pit and prune juice of poor beat life itself and the god-awful streets of man, so he said it and sang it. Close your, and blow it way up to the ceiling and through to the stars and on out, eyes, and staggered off the platform to brood. He sat in the corner with a bunch of boys and paid no attention to them. He looked down and wept. He was the greatest. And I'll give you a short bit of Rob Wilson. I read this yesterday. It's to hit a chord with people. You see all these help books just now, about 100 books to read before you die, 100 albums to listen to, 1,000 paintings you've got to see. So this is a wee meditation on that. 100 books that failed to change my life. There they sit, accusingly. 100 books that failed to change my life. Full of promises unfulfilled. Skills, advice, knowledge, witty aphorisms. Dumbly, they denounce me. In tongue-tied after-dinner skirmishes, we could have given you the edge, but no, you took us hostage, placed us here, ranked us stiffly by subject, incarcerated us, so now that we impress nobody. As they jostle and vie, I hear their hidden laughter, their conversations, badinage, cry of victim, boast of hero, their constant corinuchin and supercilious chatter. The political ones are worst. Why on earth did I take them prisoner? Now they're an embarrassment, a worthless memento of a past I can no longer visualize. Most people who visit fail to realise, seeing only the transforming power of literature, that I sought once for consolation, some false but cosy companionship, languidly turning the soft white pages, sipping Earl Grey. I should have known they couldn't be trusted. Now they happily betray me, as old friends do. Thank you.
We're about to wrap it up. May I remind people, if they want to have conversations, please take them outside. It's distracting. I hope you heard me. guys, please. We're about to wrap things up. I asked Josh to read last when I saw what he had selected to read. I thought it would be like a beautiful benediction for the evening. So Josh, I didn't ask you before, but if you have something of your own to read as well.
I'll read that first and then I'll close it.
Exactly.
All right, cool.
Thank you very much.
All right, great, great.
Josh Meander, Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
I'm going to have my poem first. Goblin, you who quietly as a hawk did jump upon my chest. You who cast a spell on me while I slept, sitting on me to make my body paralyzed, a semi-awakened prisoner surviving nightmares, coexisting in a tunnel with fatal echoes in the air. Grimace to my sly abductor. As the sea, when fed nuclear waste, as captured soldiers used for experiments, as journalists dragged off for their curiosity, as refugees repatriated to disorder. You are not a gloomy mirage. You are not going unruffled, though I tremble of your gray visits. To have you drained of energy is my wish. You're finished, Goblin. Yeah. And as Gordon said, the benediction by Lawrence Ferlinghetti, The Plow of Time. Night closed my windows, and the sky became a crystal house. The crystal windows glowed, the moon shone through them. Through the house, the whole house of crystal, a single star beamed down the crystal cable and drew a plow through the earth, unearthing bodies clasped together, couples embracing around the earth. They clung together everywhere, emitting small cries. That did not reach the stars. The crystal earth turned and the bodies with it. The sky did not turn, nor the stars with it. The stars remain fixed, each with its own crystal cable, beamed to earth, each attached to the immense plow, furrowing our lives. Good night.
Thank you, Josh. I can't think of a better way to end the evening than with some Lawrence Ferlinghetti. So, we will start this up again in September. It's looking like it's going to be Gregory Corso. Sometime in August, I'll send out invitations to read, and I'll give you the rest of the lineup for the fall also.